everyone. Welcome to the inaugural season of the Tulane Office of Gift Planning Educational Series. My name is Olivia Philippe, and I am a Director of Gift Planning in our office, and we are so glad that you've decided to tune in. We are trying to cover some topics that we think are of general and timely interest to our Tulane community, and hope that you find this series both interesting and helpful to you in your philanthropic planning. This episode covers the exciting topic of using your appreciated securities to make charitable gifts, and how this philanthropic tool is beneficial to you and to the charity of your choice. Please enjoy.
Hi, my name is Debbie Marks, and I am the Executive Director of Gift Planning and Legal Affairs at Tulane University. Tulane's Office of Gift Planning gets a lot of questions from individuals about giving. So today we wanted to take the time to answer some of our frequently asked questions and to utilize some of our wonderful experts who are associated with Tulane University. Our office helps donors to the university achieve their philanthropic goals in the most efficient ways. And today we're going to talk about giving appreciated securities. The concepts that we're going to talk about today are they're germane to whether or not you're giving to a university or a church or a synagogue or a hospital, any public charity. These are universal topics. And it is my great, great pleasure to introduce Stephen Berman. Stephen is our expert today. Stephen is a Tulane University graduate, class of 1970, magna cum laude, a member of Phi Beta Kappa. He received his Tulane MBA in 1972, moving up to summa cum laude for that. He earned his CPA licensure in 1972, and he is the founder and managing partner of Stephen M. Berman and Associates, LLC. Stephen is also a generous donor to Tulane University, and we are so grateful that he's agreed to give his very precious time today to answer some of our questions. So welcome, Steve.
Thank you, and thank you for having me. This is indeed my pleasure to be able to give back to the university I love. I love it.
We are so grateful, and that's a perfect segue, because my first question for you was really just to talk about why you give. Why do you give to Tulane? Why do you give to other charities? What does that mean to you, and what does that give to you in your life?
Well, there are actually three reasons why I so enjoy giving and giving charitably. One, it makes me feel good. It makes me feel good because I believe that I am helping others, and maybe to those institutions that would otherwise not be able to do things, but now because of funds they receive, be it an appreciated securities, cash, whatever, they're able to help those less fortunate. And it also allows them to satisfy and meet their objectives, whatever that institution is, be it a synagogue, a church, a university, United Way, or whatever, help those less fortunate. That's number one. Number two, obviously, number two, you get an income tax deduction. So there's an ulterior motive. It helps you on your income taxes, and I'll talk about that in a minute. It saves federal and state taxes, as everybody knows. You could say, well, why don't you just give to the U.S. or state governments? Well, you know, I like the U.S. and state governments, but if I can help somebody less fortunate by giving charitably, I like to do that too. And the third, and perhaps maybe the most important, is when we give charitably, we do have a foundation. My family established our own foundation. We do give charitably. I always involve my children. It's a way of teaching. I like to teach them to help others. And at the end of the year, we get together and we say, okay, here's an allocation for you to give. We're not going to tell you to give to our charities. You give to whatever charities are important to you. and it's a way of giving back. And we're hoping that because we have our own private foundation, that they will teach our grandchildren to do the same. So there are really three reasons why I give. It makes me feel good. I get an income tax deduction. It's a way of teaching my children.
Well, that's really lovely, especially the third one. I think that, you know, we all learn best from example, and by setting up the next generations for philanthropy, you are spreading out your giving in ever widening circles. So that's, you know, the ripple effect is pretty significant, and your family is creating a ripple throughout the world, which is just fabulous. I love that. That's really great.
Sure.
So, you know, I'm going to kind of start, not really about stocks so much, but just to ask you, you know, it's 2020, and for all that has been difficult in 2020, 2020 has also created some unique giving opportunities. And I wanted to start by asking you, what should people know before the end of the year in terms of charitable giving?
Well, I think there are a few things that are very important. Number one, anybody, even those who claim the standard deduction, can get a $300 deduction, what we call, quote, above the line. That is arriving at adjusted gross income. So you get a $300. If you give $300, you get that deduction, even though you don't itemize your deductions. You claim the standard deduction. The second thing is, this year, you can give in cash. This is in cash now. You can give up to 100% of your adjusted gross income. Well, that's a lot of money. But those people whose adjusted gross income, let's say, is a couple hundred thousand dollars, and they really don't need the additional income because they're retired or whatever, but they've got interest and dividends, they can give effectively their entire interest dividends away, 100% of their adjusted gross income. And that's a big deal. It's a one-year deal only. It's got to be in cash, and it's got to be to public charities. So it's very important this year, and we're seeing a lot of that.
Yeah, I think we've gotten a lot of interest in that concept here too. I think people are realizing that it is a really great opportunity. People are also who have outstanding pledges to charity. That is a great opportunity to accelerate their pledges. They're going to pay them anyhow, but 2020 is a great year to try to knock some of that out. So that's great. I'm going to turn to giving stock. So our office oversees the donation of securities to the university. A lot of people do gift stock. And I think that people who know to give stock obviously understand that, but there's a lot of people out there that hold stock and they don't look at their stock portfolio as a place where they can, you know, create their charitable giving. So, Steve, can you talk a little bit about why someone would do that and why that's a really good opportunity?
And I think, Debbie, that is probably, I'm going to illustrate that concept by an example.
Great.
Giving appreciated securities is fantastic because you don't have to recognize the gain, but you get the full charitable deduction. Obviously, there's some limits on adjusted gross income. The limit of appreciated securities to Tulane, for example, would be 30% of your adjusted gross income. But let's assume that people are going to meet that. So let's use an example. Let's say somebody has stock, marketable securities, worth $50,000. And let's say the gain on that is $30,000. So in other words, the basis in the stock is $20,000. So the unrecognized gain to date is $30,000. Well, if you give stock of $30,000 and donate it directly to Tulane, this is what you save. If you're in the top tax bracket, you would save the capital gains tax, plus you would say what's known as the Medicare tax. So you save 23.8% of the gain, which I said is $20,000. So therefore, you'd save $7,140. I know these numbers are a bit much, but I think it's important to illustrate. Yeah. So your net charitable deduction, forgetting about, and of course you save the state taxes too, whatever your state rate is on top of that. So your net charitable deduction is, or the net cost to you is $7,140, and the net charitable donation is $50,000 less $7,140. So the net charitable donation is $42,860. If you, that is if you give cash, excuse me, if you give cash, I'm sorry. If you give stock instead, stock, $50,000, bingo. You save the full 23.8% on the $50,000. And you save, instead of an income tax deduction of $15,858, your income tax deduction is $18,500. So forget the numbers. Just forget the numbers. Let's talk why giving stock is a more effective way of giving to charity than giving cash. You don't have to pay the capital gains tax. You don't have to pay the Medicare tax. You don't have to pay the state income tax. You save all that. And Tulane benefits also by the stock gift. So we highly recommend, and especially in today's times, we don't know what 2021 is going to hold. We have no idea. But if you've got appreciated securities this year and you're going to make a gift otherwise, why not give it in stock? So I'm a big proponent of that.
That's great. I mean, essentially what you're saying is the cost of the gift is significantly less. I mean, you get a charitable deduction either way, but it costs you less. And also I always feel when I give stock, I don't really feel it as much. It just, you know, it just kind of comes out and goes to charity. And it's not like writing a check or putting it on your credit card, which is then on your credit card, you have to pay interest on that too. So it ends up costing more than the gift.
Yeah, that I hadn't thought about that, but that's a very good point. What you're saying is my charitable contributions this year, for example, are going to be $5,000. All right, I have a choice. I know I've got this stock. Seeing my personal portfolio that has a big gain, that the basis in it is $2,500. So I know that if I sell it, I still got to pay the tax on the $2,500. But if I give the stock, then I get the deduction and I still have the cash in my bank account to go to the department store to buy whatever I want.
That's right.
That's a great point. That's a great point.
Good for the economy, good for charity, good for the donor. That's
great. That's a great point, Debbie.
So what are the things that you have to think of when you're trying to decide what, if you look at your stock holdings and you're trying to decide or you're working with your advisor to think about what would be good stock to transfer?
Well, I think that marketable securities, that is stock that Tulane can immediately convert to cash, is a good item to give rather than closely held stock. I think Tulane will accept closely held stock, but if they do that, then you have to get a fair market value appraisal. You have to make sure that it's somewhat marketable, that somebody will want it. So I always recommend to people that if you've got marketable securities that have a gain in it, use that first. If you don't have, if you have securities, even if there is no market, you have a tremendous gain, but it's not a loss. Don't sell a stock that has an inherent loss because you can recognize the loss on your tax return and then give what's left over. So I always say use marketable securities. And that would be my answer, really.
So the other thing I wanted to just remind people too is that you do want to give securities that you have held on to for more than a year.
1 year, right? 1 year. So it's long term. Long term.
That's considered long term. So that's how you can fully take advantage of not having to pay the capital gains tax on that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Great point. That's a great point.
So let me ask you this question. What if you really like the stock that you have? What if you were so smart and you bought Apple or Amazon or one of those stocks that's really doing well, and you really like having that position because it's doing so well for you, and you don't want to give up your ownership of that stock? What would you recommend if you also want to make a charitable gift?
Of the Apple stock or some other, we get this question a lot. And then I say, let's see, how old are you? Oh, you're in your 80s and you, okay.
Look like I'm in my 80s.
It's all right. So I don't want to be morbid. I don't want to talk about mortality, but wait a second. if you had this Apple stock and it's quadrupled or greater, and you're looking at, should I give the Apple stock, which has a big gain, or should I pass it on to my heirs and give something else? We would recommend you give something else. Why? Because at death, you get a step up in basis under the current law to the fair market value of the Apple stock. You don't have to pay any capital gains tax on it. Your heirs inherit this new basis. Hey, that's a pretty good thing. That's a pretty good thing. So look at your other portfolio. Even if you only have a minor gain in some of the other stocks, use the other stocks if the person is really elderly.
That's a great point.
Okay.
That's a great point. And one of the things that we have talked about, and I guess you have, I hadn't really thought about it from that standpoint of using different stock. But one of the things that we've recommended to people is if you like your stock, then you might want to gift it, but then replace it so that you can retain your position and then you can take advantage of the gain in the future. But I think that your thoughts about passing it on to your heirs is even better.
And for those who are listening to this, this gets very esoteric.
And yeah,
very
sorry.
Very technical. But we also advise people, and we're not going to get into it today, but if you talk to your advisor and ask them what a charitable lead trust is, as opposed to a charitable remainder trust, a charitable lead trust is the charity gets it, and then it reverts back to you in a charitable remainder trust. You get to retain the income for a period of years, and then at the end, it goes to Tulane or your favorite charity. I'm not going to get into that today, but we...
That's a big topic, and
yeah,
that's
we're not going to do that.
We would love to cover that in the future. Depending upon what happens in Congress, that could become more and more germane in the future. So I also wanted to touch on stock, and a lot of people hold mutual funds, and so maybe if you could kind of just give basically the definition of what mutual funds are. And I just want to speak on what Tulane needs if a donor would like to give mutual funds to the university.
Well, a mutual fund is also is defined as a security, but a mutual fund is invested in other underlying securities, and it may be an amalgamation, if you will, of many securities. And a lot of the brokerage houses sell mutual funds because they're less risky than, for example, holding five securities. Those five securities are going to go up or down. And instead, you're in a mutual fund, and the mutual fund, you got gains, losses, whatever, inside the fund that the investor or the taxpayer sometimes does not see. But I would assume Tulane will accept the mutual funds like any security, but then they have to decide what they're going to do with it. So I'll let you answer the rest of that.
Yeah, well, we do accept mutual funds, but unlike with we have stock instructions that we have on our website, and we can always send them to any donor who needs them. The one thing that we do ask, and the reason why I wanted to point this out, is if a donor would like to give mutual funds, it's different stock instructions. You can't just you can just send the stock to us and we will get it. But with mutual funds, we work through the bank that holds our securities, and we it's the Bank of New York Mellon, and we work with them to find out what is the mutual fund, to confirm that we can accept that mutual fund. We can accept almost all of them, but there's a few that we might not be able to, and then give them special instructions. So that's kind of an important thing for someone who's listening to this and thinking, oh, wait, I'd love to give mutual funds. We can do it. Just look at our website, contact us, or contact Bank of New York Mellon.
Well, that brings up another point. Tulane is willing to accept mutual funds. What about closely held stock?
So we will. That is a longer process. The university has a due diligence procedure that we have to undertake to make sure that the closely held stock is something that we feel comfortable with. And as you talked about, there are valuation requirements on the part of the donor. They have to get a qualified appraisal. But we do. The only thing I would mention is it takes a lot longer. If you want to send regular appreciated stock that's, you know, traded on the New York Stock Exchange, or, you know, you can just send it to us and we will get it. With something like mutual funds, it takes a little longer. And something like closely held stock, it would take even longer than that. And it would require for us to do some due diligence, because we want to make sure that it's something that'd be appropriate for the university to hold.
And I would assume you would credit the donor at the time you get the valuation of the closely held stock. I mean, I may give closely held stock today, but you got to do some due diligence on it. You don't really know what it's worth. And you have an idea, but you really don't know. But okay, so the donor isn't going to know what the deduction is. I mean, they'll relatively know, give an idea, but not the exact bottom line dollar.
Right, with closely held stock.
Yeah, that's right, right.
But then for valuation for, publicly traded securities, that's something that our donors ask us as well, on how we value that. Sometimes we have people who look at the stock market, you know, prices for the stock, and with the day that they call their broker and ask for that stock to be transferred, they think that that is the price per share that they're going to receive credit for. And so that is not exactly the case. What we do is the day that the stock comes into Tulane's account. In other words, the moment that you can't take it back, right? That is the date of the gift. And so sometimes it goes up, sometimes it goes down a little bit from the date that you call, but the day that your broker actually puts it into our account is the date of the gift. And it's not always the date that you call the broker. So that's kind of an important.
That's a good point. That's a very important point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Good.
Yeah. So, and then we value the way that we value the stock. We don't usually know. We won't know until the market closes that day. So we look at the high and low on the day that the stock comes into our account, and we use the mean, the average.
That's right.
And we multiply the average times the number of shares that came into our account. And that is the date of the gift, and that is the value of the gift that day.
Fantastic. That's great. Good. That's good.
And I do want to point out that it's right now, we are speaking in November.
Right.
And, December 31st comes every single year. And we want to encourage anyone this year or any other year, when you're thinking about giving stock, that you try to get to it before the 31st. We have definitely had situations where donors have wanted to give in the tax year that, you know, the current tax year, and the stock does not get transferred until the 1st or 2nd of January, and they don't get their tax deduction for that tax year. So we just want to encourage everybody to, on an annual basis, make sure that they're thinking about this in advance and not doing it on the 31st because it might not go through.
Debbie, that is just an outstanding point. I can't tell you how many clients say, well, I gave it on the 31st. How come you're not claiming a tax deduction for me on my tax return? I said, because it didn't clear until January 4th.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's not my problem. Well, it is your problem because I said, make your gifts early so that they can sell the stock or whatever they're going to do with it. So we have a valuation to claim on your income tax return. Don't wait until the 31st. So that's an excellent point. Well stated. Well
yeah. So we do want to encourage that. One other question, Steve, that we get asked a lot is whether or not Tulane would be willing to hold a donor's stock. We've gotten, had people call us and say, I'm going to give you this stock. It's really great. I think it's going to go up. So why don't you just hang on to it for a little while? And that is something that we do not as a university do. We feel like our donors' generosity is very sacred, and we do not want to gamble with our donors' money. So we value the day that we receive it. We have an automatic sell in place for stock gifts, and we sell them immediately. And if it goes up, that's unfortunate, but we don't want to risk, because we've had situations where, their stock has been held on to for whatever reason and it goes down. And that's a really bad outcome for Tulane.
Okay. No,
and the donor.
I'm full supporting of that. That's great.
Yeah. So we don't hold it. And if you feel like your stock's going to go up, and it's this great stock, then hold on to it, give something else, because we're going to sell it that day.
Perfect.
So why, what else were we going to talk about today? I guess the last question I wanted to ask is to you, is Steve, do you in your professional life, not just your personal life as philanthropist, do you contact the university and work with their offices of gift planning? Is that the kind of thing that when you have a client who's very philanthropic, would you engage in those conversations?
Absolutely. In fact, I did it myself. Over this past year, I wanted to make a major gift to Tulane in honor of somebody who's, I think he's president of the board, for a period of time from Atlanta, Doug Hertz. And I wanted to make sure that Doug was honored in the proper way. And I wanted to give some stock. And I worked with Tulane, and they couldn't have been more gracious. And they couldn't have been actually very, very helpful, Debbie, to me as to how, gave me an idea of what I should do and the timing of what I should do. So Tulane is very willing to work with financial advisors, CPAs, others to make sure the gift to the person they want to honor or the university is handled in the appropriate way. And kudos to you. You just do a great job on that.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that commercial. I appreciate that. And I really appreciate your doing this today. I think it's very, very helpful. I think that these concepts are concepts that you and I see every day, and we get very used to seeing them, and it seems almost sort of obvious for us, but there are many, many people out there that really haven't given a lot of thought to using stock and to being more creative with their philanthropic goals. So I really appreciate this.
Before we leave the charitable giving topic, before we leave this topic today, I want to leave you with one thought. There's
okay.
a book out called Generation Impact, How Next Gen Donors Are Revolutionizing Giving. I highly recommend it because it's our children, as I said, and our grandchildren that are getting the point and that are continuing to give, maybe in their parents' honor, their grandparents' honor, but the next gen is getting it. I'm very, very, very encouraged about what's happening in the charitable arena today.
So that's really great. That's fabulous. Great. That is that I don't know that book. I am going to discover the book. I appreciate the recommendation. And I also just appreciate you for doing this and appreciate you as a member of society for creating a family that is generous and gives back. So thank you.
More than welcome. My pleasure.
Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. We would really like to hear feedback from you on how we could make this more informative going forward and what topics you'd like to hear more about. Please email us with any feedback, ideas, or questions at giftplanning@tulane.edu. Again, that's giftplanning@tulane.edu. Thank you.